We love him because he first loved us and gave his life for us. We've been reviewing the names and titles of Jesus for a long time. That name is a name above every other name. And that title, Name Above All Names, is found in Philippians chapter 2. Turn with me in your Bibles there. Philippians chapter 2. Jesus' name above all names. Most expatriates that I have ever met, if not all, would love to be the main character in a success story. That's one of the reasons why you're overseas. You thought it would be better for you than where you were, whether it's escaping persecution from your homeland or whether it's seeking a business opportunity. We would love to be in the center of a success story. Well, believe it or not, the Bible tells us how to go right to the top of the charts that really matter. What is the primary requirement for success in any field? Is there one common denominator for successful people in any field? What's that? You have to know something about it. Okay. Anything else? Commitment that's involved? Passion? Sorry? Timing? Okay. There's one thing that is above every other thing that is important to success. Somebody's got to get it. Discipline, that's involved. Focus is involved. There we go. Say it louder. Say it louder. Attitude. Attitude. The 1983 Kosh report on American business said that 94% of all Fortune 500 executives attributed their success more to attitude than to any other basic ingredient. The Carnegie Institute recently analyzed the records of 10,000 people and concluded that 15% of success, only 15%, is due to technical training. The other 85% comes from personality shaped by attitudes. Hugh Downs said that a happy person is not a person with a certain set of circumstances, but rather a person with a certain set of attitudes. All research that is conducted seems to reinforce this one fact. Whether it's in sports, or education, or business, or marriage, or faith, or any other endeavor in life, our attitude determines our altitude. You want to go up? It depends on your attitude. It's crucial. With that being a proven fact over time, look with me at Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. We're going to recognize the attitudes that exalted Jesus, and then reflect on how we can develop those same winning attitudes. Beginning at verse 5. Your what? Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the, what? To the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Lord, we ask that as we examine Jesus this morning, and as we examine his name that is above every other name, as we examine the glory that is rightfully his, Lord, help us this morning, in light of your word, to discover what attitudes produce that, and allow us, Lord, to experience and to learn and to have these same attitudes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Early in my life, somebody gave me a tip. They said, if you want to be good at anything, hang around somebody else who's really good at it. And learn from them. Glean from them. Whether it's learning to play a guitar or learning to be a salesman or learning to ski, whatever it is, hang around somebody who knows it, who does it well, and learn from them. Well, if you want a winning attitude, an attitude that will lift your altitude, if you want an attitude that will make you a winner in life, if you want that kind of an attitude, then go to the best one possible. Hang around Jesus. Hang around Jesus. Learn from Him, for He had the attitude that gave Him the name that is above every name. Isn't that what the text says? Have this attitude in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So what attitude or attitudes did He have? I think you're going to be fascinated when you discover the attitudes that produced in Jesus the name that is higher than any other name. Go with me to the Scriptures and let's look at them. The first thing about His attitude that produced this winning attitude, and these may shock you because they're not what you're going to hear in the winning ways and success books. The first thing that produced a winning attitude in Him was that He gave up His reputation. He gave up His reputation. The contemporary English version translates verse 6 and 7 this way. Christ was truly God, but He did not try to remain equal with God. He gave up everything and became a slave when He became like one of us. Jesus gave up His reputation. All over the world today, the name of Jesus is taken in vain. People mock it, they scorn it, they laugh at it, they ridicule it. This statement that we Christians make, that Jesus was in very nature God, that we find from this passage, raises all kinds of questions. Questions of theology, of philosophy, of physics, of logic, of motive, of sensibility. A lot of people have a great deal of difficulty with how could Jesus be God? In very nature God? The bottom line is, if Jesus had all the praise of heaven as God, why in the world did He give it all up, set it all aside, trade in His glory for grime, His praises for curses? Why would anybody in their right mind do that? Why? Well, the very reason we ask this question is because it is so completely opposite to what we would do. It doesn't make sense to us. You see, down here on this globe, we work hard to establish our reputation, to build it, to strengthen it, to expand it, to fight for it, and to oppose anyone and anything who threatens to weaken or diminish it. And that's why we're so devastated when somebody spreads gossip about us or talks behind our backs. Our reputation is at stake. So we fight for it. We defend it. Now, you know, we even know how to dress up this pride in religious clothes and make it look spiritual. I remember when I was a brand new pastor. I'd only been pastoring about less than a year, actually. And I was on my way home to visit my family, go back to my home church. Golden boy here was coming back home. And so I'd had some accolades about my preaching. And so I wrote ahead to our former pastor and said, I'm coming through town. If you'd like me to fill the pulpit, I'd like to do it. I never got a letter back. And so I got there that summer, and he offered to take me out for lunch. And we went out for lunch, and dear Pastor Sipley, in the middle of the conversation, said, Dave, he says, do you mind if I give you some advice? And I said, sure. Not knowing what was coming. And he said, Dave, he said, I got your letter. Hope you didn't mind that I didn't respond. But he said, I detected a little pride. And he said, my advice is this. He said, Dave, you concentrate on letting your ministry go deep. Let God look after taking your ministry broad. It was like a knife went right into the heart of my being because he was bang on the money. And I went home and wrestled that through and realized that God was exposing a hidden, secret streak of pride. Other people probably saw it before I did. But from that point, I said, Lord Jesus, you being my helper, I will never seek to do that. Shortly after that, the Lord led me to Jeremiah 45:5, which says, should you seek great things for yourself? Seek them not. And that put the cap on it. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, number one is give up your reputation. Over and over and over again in the Gospels, Jesus deals with this deep heart issue. He talked about our desire to be seen of men, to be recognized at the head of the table, to be praised with titles, to be hailed among men. And he always cautioned us against these prideful attitudes, knowing that there is something very deadly to the soul in seeking our own honor. He showed us by his life that the way up is down. That the true way to lasting reputation is to be willing to set it all aside and do what is right. You see, as long as we're worried about our reputation, about what people will think about us, we will never be free to do what God wants us to do. We'll always be in a box. We'll always be worried about what they will say. Now think about it. Most of us would care far less about what others thought about us if we realized how seldom they do. They're not thinking about you and me. They're thinking about themselves, just like we are. So why do we spend all that time worrying about what people think? They don't give two hoots. So get on with forgetting your reputation, set it aside, give it up, and get on with what God wants us to do. Amen? If you want to know how Jesus got to be number one, it was because he chose to give up his reputation. The text tells us he also chose to give up his rights. Look at verse 6. He did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or held on to. This word grasped means Jesus did not use his equality with God as a means for personal gain, to snatch power or dominion or riches or pleasure or worldly glory. He did not use his favored place to grasp at authority or to refuse it or to in any way let it go or not let it go. How different than the world in which we live. It appears, at least the world I live in, it appears that almost everybody has some kind of ulterior motive. They want something out of it. A little bakshish, a little recognition, a contact, something. We want something out of it. Just recently I heard somebody say, you know, we've had those people over twice and they haven't invited us back. Surprise, surprise. What are you expecting out of it? Do you do hospitality because you want to get invited back? You got an ulterior motive there, folks. That's not the kind of hospitality taught in the scriptures. We're to give it to those people who can invite us back. Our ulterior motives are hidden, they're secret, but they're sometimes very pervasive. And what it gets to is this issue of rights. I have a right to be invited back. I have a right to this, I have a right to that, I have a right to everything. There's a lot of talk about rights these days. There's women's rights, there's gay rights, there's animal rights, there's minority rights, and on and on and on. We've all got rights, and we all want to fight for them. When somebody tries to restrict or force us to do something we don't want to do, our first line of defense is, I've got my rights. But dear friends, if anybody had rights, all the rights in the universe, to do anything, anytime, any place, to anyone he wanted, without impunity, it was Jesus. And yet, what did he do with his rights? He freely gave them up. He did not consider them something to be held on to. He didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped. He let it go. He gave up his rights so that he could take our wrongs. Most of us today are so busy being concerned about our own rights that we can't see past our nose for the needs of other people. Jesus modeled how to get to be number one. He gave up his rights, and he loved the very ones who were taking them from him. He gave up his reputation. He gave up his rights. He also gave up his rule. Verse 7, we read, and taking the very nature of a servant, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. This one who created the entire universe. This one whose glory and majesty defy our comprehension. This one to whom all praise is due. This one who could have ruled with pure justice and demanded our eternal damnation for our rebellion. This great and mighty God gave up His rule. And He came here not to rule, but to serve. He said of Himself, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to and to give His life. I came to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. That's why I came. And it's exactly what He did. Look at His life and learn a fantastic secret, dear friends. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. Say it again. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. How different than the world lives. But I guarantee you, dear friends, that attitude will make you a winner in the charts that really matter. Give up our reputation, we give up our rights, and we give up our rule. We're willing to serve other people in love. That's what makes people great. That's what gives you a name that people respect, ultimately. And that's what raises you, ultimately, higher and higher on God's charts. So what happened to Jesus for living this politically incorrect way? For giving up His reputation, His rights, and His rule? Well, in the short run, quite frankly, He appeared to lose. They killed Him. The world doesn't like people who don't live according to their system. And they won't always like us when we live that way. And you say, I thought you were talking about being a winner, Pastor Dave. Well, yeah, I am. Never close the book before the last chapter. Never. If you wonder about God's people in this world, if you think that Christians are persecuted, if you think that we're getting the bum rap here, go to the last chapter, friends. We win. Jesus wins. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And what's the last chapter on Jesus? What's the last chapter on living this way and having these attitudes? Look at verse 9. Therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every tongue, every knee. Look around you today. In our introductions this morning, we had people introduced from, I think, almost every globe, every continent on the globe. They're here in this one place, and this is just one church. What brings us together today from so many different countries, from so many different cultures, from so many different backgrounds? What brings us together? Is it because we like hymns instead of choruses, or choruses instead of hymns, or because we like this pastor versus that one, or this church versus... What brings us together here? Jesus. That's the only reason we're together here, the only reason that pulls us together and keeps us together. It's not the way this church is organized or governed or run or programmed. It's Jesus. We're here declaring the glory of His name. We're here worshiping Him. And just as it does it here today in a small microcosmic way, that's what's going to be true for eternity. It's Jesus and a recognition of who He is and a worship of Him that is going to draw together all the people of this universe. One day, every single created being in the universe will declare with their lips, Jesus Christ is Lord. They may not do it willingly, but they will do it because it's true. So what? That's what we see in Jesus, the winning attitudes that gave Him the name above every name. He gave up His... Got them already? He gave up His reputation, He gave up His rights, and He gave up His rule. So what about you and me? How do we learn from Him? How do we have this attitude in us? How do we glean and gain this kind of winning attitude? How do we cultivate it? How do we grow it? You don't just say a quick prayer and all of a sudden it's yours. We got to start and make it happen. Let me give you from the text three things that will help this grow in you and in me. First step, bow to Him. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Every knee will bow in heaven and earth and under the earth. Your knee someday is going to bow. You may say, I don't like bowing. I'm not into bowing. It's not my religious tradition. Doesn't matter. Your knee will bow to Jesus Christ. When was the last time you got on your knees? It's not my tradition either. When was the last time you got on your knees before God and bowed to Him? I dare you to try it. There's something powerful about when our bodies posture themselves in submission to the Lord. You say, well, I can't do that publicly. Then go into your closet. Shut the door to your bedroom. And get on your knees. Maybe even fall prostrate before God on the floor. And let your body say, I recognize you as Lord. Bow to Him. Honor Him. Acknowledge Him for who He is. Not only will this create a dynamism in your spiritual walk with God when you recognize who He is and who you are in relationship to Him, but it will also help produce in you the winning attitude. You know why? I know people who say, I don't bow to anybody. Yeah, and you know what people think of those kind of people? You met people like that? I don't bow to anybody. Their pride stinks. And you can smell it from miles away. And people don't like people like that. You may have to work for them, but you don't like them. But when we learn how to bow to Jesus, our ultimate authority, when we learn to prostrate ourselves, when we learn to acknowledge, you are the master, I am the servant, when we learn that in our relationship with God, it starts to cultivate the attitude in us that becomes a winning attitude in this life, in the relationships that we know. We learn how to properly submit to the authorities in this life. We learn how to properly give honor and praise to those to whom it is due in this life. And when you do, when you give that kind of honor, when you give that kind of praise, when you're willing to submit yourself to other people, that, dear friends, is an attitude that produces victory in your life. Nobody likes the proud, hot honchos who think they've got it all together. But when somebody senses a genuine, submissive attitude, not a weak, wimpy attitude, a submissive attitude, one that respects authority, that honors authority, that is willing to praise when praise is due, that kind of person is a winner. And so we bow to Him. Second thing that will exercise this winning attitude in you is boast of Him. The Scripture says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Our tongues will speak it. You may say, oh, that's not my tradition either. I'm one of those silent witnesses. I let my life say it. Good. Live your life in such a way, Jesus said, that men will see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Good. But don't stop there. Your tongue will confess someday that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why not practice now? Can you say that this morning? When was the last time you said that to somebody else? To your spouse, to your children, to your parents, to your neighbors, to your work associates, to your teachers. When was the last time you used this slab of mucous membrane to proclaim what your heart knows is true? What your tongue will one day proclaim forever and ever. When was the last time you said it to another human being? Your friends, confess it. Boast of Him. Again, just like the first principle, not only will it do miracles in your walk with Christ, not only will it set you free to enjoy Him and to experience new dimensions in your walk with Him, but it also begins to build into you the secrets of a winning attitude. It produces in you the ability to relate on a level to other human beings that creates in that environment they like you. Let me ask you. I know this for sure. I don't know all of you by first name. And some of you that I do know by first name, I forget. You know that about me. I'm sorry. I've got a lousy memory. But I know this about you, even if I've never met you. You like people who like you. You like people who say nice things about you. You like people who praise you because you think they got pretty good perception. Right? Right. Well, then be that kind of person. Be the one who's dishing it out. Be the one who's praising others, who's giving encouragement, who's slapping on the back and say, you did well at that. Why be a black hole and suck it all into yourself? Why go around society waiting for somebody else to dump into your life? You be the one who gives it. You be the one who issues the praise. You be the one who overflows onto others. And dear friends, they will like you. That's not the reason for doing it, but it's the natural overflow. When you learn how to boast of Jesus, you learn how to boast about other people. You learn how to brag about your wife instead of putting her down. You learn how to build up your kids instead of squeezing them into nothing. You learn how to praise your fellow employees instead of worrying if they're going to get the promotion instead of you are. You learn how to boast about other people. And when you've learned that in your relationship to Christ and it's active in your relationship with other people, dear friends, guess what? That attitude will make you a winner. We bow to Him. We boast of Him. In Psalm 138, verse 2, we read, I will bow down towards your holy temple, and I will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. I will bow down, and I will boast. I will do that. Finally, the third exercise, become like Him. Bow to Him, boast of Him, and become like Him. That's really what this message is all about. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's another way of saying, be like Him. Learn from Him. Become like Jesus. In other words, what that means, it means is we have to look for ways to practice giving up our reputation. It won't happen naturally. Naturally, you and I would fight against that. So, here's some tips. Promote somebody else instead of yourself. Try it. Next time you have an opportunity to say something nice about yourself, promote somebody else instead. How about setting aside your social position and your social status and go love somebody who isn't of your kind, who isn't of your class, who doesn't eat like you, who doesn't look like you, who doesn't even smell like you. Go to them. Invite them over. Take them out for lunch. Do it today. Now, that causes somebody else out there to think less of you because you're hanging around with people not your kind, then those other people probably aren't worth knowing. Isn't it amazing that we spend most of our money to get things that we don't have on people, to impress people that we don't even like? Give up your reputation. Let it go. Secondly, practice giving up your rights. You have to practice it because if you don't, you'll hang on to them. Next time you're about to get angry because somebody has crossed the line and violated you, you have to prepare yourself for this because if you don't prepare yourself, you will naturally not do it. So think it through, practice, put in your mental cranium here a strategy for how to do this. And next time somebody crosses that line and violates your rights, look at them, smile, and say, God bless you. And watch their wild reaction. God bless you. And if they say, what's with you? Just say, the Lord's teaching me some wonderful lessons of how to give up my rights. And walk away. Practice it. Jesus said if somebody slaps you on the cheek, you say, I've got my rights. No, you give him the other cheek. If somebody takes your coat, I've got my... No, give him your cloak as well. If somebody asks you to go beyond the call of duty on the job again, I want you to go a mile. Go two.
See the principle?
Give up your rights. Practice it. Practice it. Practice it. Because when we give up our rights, we are free to minister to their wrongs. It's the miracle and the wonder of Christian service. Practice serving others. Don't wait for them to treat you as the head honcho, as the big expat, the highly paid huaga. Why not serve them? You say, Pastor, you don't know what you're asking. I sure do. How about totally turning the world on its head and doing something really sweet and kind for your Boab today? Or your cook, or your gardener. Take them out for lunch. Blow them away. Serve other people. I encourage you sometime today, write out the names of 5 people who do things for you, who serve you. It may be your Egyptian staff, it may be your employer, your employee, your husband, your wife, your kids. Just 5. Write out the names of 5 people who do things for you. And then plan to do something for them. Some random act of kindness. Maybe even do it secretly so they don't even know where it's coming from. Develop the mindset that God has placed the people around you not in order to honor you and build you up, but He's placed them there in order for you and me to serve and to love. That's why they're there. And then act on it. Do it. Practice it. Dear friends, these attitudes, once developed and activated, may initially cause you to lose respect, money, position, security, and many other things. I'm being completely upfront with you. That's what happened to Jesus. But don't stop looking at that. Always go to the last chapter. Always read the final or the finale to the story. And you will find a therefore. Therefore, God highly exalted him. Therefore, as a result of good attitudes, you will gain altitude. You will. You will rise in people's esteem, the people that really matter. You will have a good name. Practice doing the things you do not like to do in order to achieve the very things that your heart longs for. Jesus gave up his reputation, he gave up his rights, and he gave up his rule. And today we worship him. We worship him. In the very near future, all creation will sing his praise and honor him forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Amen.
What better song could we sing to follow that sermon than